Call me Mr. Big Chest.
I'm not going to call you that.
Call God.
Call who?
Trade me. Let's find out.
Trade you?
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
It's gonna leave the DDFP.
Wait, what?
That's right. You just heard it there.
Sounded high like to the tune of Memory.
That was it.
Cats. Is that what it was?
Oh, I thought that was Bab Streisand. Wasn't that? Isn't she the one who sings Memory?
It's from Cats, right?
It's from Emma. Cats.
Listen, one way or the other. Darkness is falling on the DDFP right at the time that we're so excited as we head off to South by Southwest. We hope you'll join us out there. Me, Maurice Jones-Drew, Colleen Wolfe, Eddie Spaghetti, you know, everybody.
What are you guys doing?
Everybody pretty much. We're going to do the DDFP. We're going to do a live one in the JW Marriott as a part of South by Southwest, 12:30 p.m. local time on the second floor of the Brazos Room. Like I say, MJD, Colleen Wolfe. All the DDFPers.
What? Why would you call it the DDFP? What's that got to do with the DDFP?
What an insult.
I mean, listen.
What a complete.
Fellas, right. Aren't we burying the lead here?
Listen, egregious. Because that's going to be a celebration.
All right.
Let's get this out of
the way. But this is a misdemeanor compared to the felony.
Just get this out of the way.
All right.
So wait, you are doing a DDFP.
Right.
At South by Southwest for
correct.
All the fans that love listening to the DDFP.
Correct.
You're going to do it live on the road.
Yeah. And
we're going to win even more new fans.
Why, if you're planning on doing that, why would you do it with people that have never, ever been on the DDFP before?
What are you
Wouldn't
talking
that be
about?
Hank,
Wouldn't
if
that
I may,
be disappointing?
Let's just get the backdrop here. The backdrop is South by Southwest.
Right. Yep.
Before Rock all the Johnny-come-lately hipsters decided to descend upon Austin and say, this is our week
right.
to be relevant, South by was a pretty sweet-ass joint for 5 days of nothing but straight music.
Yep.
You get so completely destroyed that you can't wake up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There were no morning panels.
Right.
You'd go out until 3 a.m. and watch live music, have a great time, walk the streets, likely get into trouble, maybe get arrested, sleep in until past lunch. And then
I plan
start
on doing all those things.
Yeah. Well, that's no longer what it is.
Right.
Now it's let's take the DDFP on the road
and do a
live. Exactly.
Let's take Dave Dameshek, the D&D of the F&P. And then add in some other pieces.
Some other
Johnny-come-lately hipsters. Nothing to do with it.
Instead of the guy that's been to probably 15 South by Southwests in his life when they used to be something special. And the core, the concrete foundation
right.
on which the Dave Dameshek football program's home was built.
Yeah.
You leave the two of us behind.
Why would you do that?
What are you thinking?
You know what? It's not easy making those final cuts, you know?
Final cuts?
It gives me no pleasure.
Now I totally understand why Emma is leaving. She's probably so upset and distraught by your bad decision-making that she says, I want
know,
no part of this.
I think you guys are both really talented, and I
right.
think there's a place for you in this league.
Don't patronize us.
And do you think?
Need anything going forward, just give me a call.
Do you think Colleen Wolfe has ever listened to the DDFP?
Of course. She's been on
That doesn't mean she's listening.
Are you
right?
sure?
She was on it twice in 2016, right? I will make a 100% guarantee that Colleen Wolfe has never, ever downloaded or listened to the Dave Dameshek football program.
Yeah, but the name
And so
Wolf
it is insulting to me that, your mustache is falling off.
That is a little
It's
bit.
Insulting to me that you would decide that would be that's the lineup that you want. Maurice has been asleep since February.
I felt...
Here's what I hope. Here's what I hope happens.
Uh-oh,
okay?
I don't know what...
Here's what I hope. One, I hope
evil
that...
Evil wishes are going to fall
instead of
my
the
head
two
now.
Of us and the trio, when we would head out on the road and find ourselves some off-the-beaten-path restaurant where we could enjoy, imbibe, consume, and celebrate each other's company, instead of doing that in Austin, at one of their many legendary spots.
Right. Mm.
I hope you go to Whataburger and Papa Doe and every freaking chain joint in that town. And when Broken Social Scene is going to do a special 1 a.m. invite only at Emo's, I hope that MJD and Willie and Colleen got you in some freaking club where DJ Diplo is doing a set. That's what I hope happens to you out there, okay?
And,
you
know, I'll
I'm
going to
sleep
that.
Easy.
I'll add to that by saying, if you're one of the fans, if you're one of the loyal DDFP listeners that says, you know what, I really want to experience this live and I want to be there. If you're a true loyal fan, as the soon as that music starts playing, I want you to stop booing. And just boo. Boo through the first 2 minutes of it and shout for money. Shout for Hank.
Darn
shout
right.
for Emma.
Hey, the
and,
key.
And as soon as any of those pretenders open their mouths, boo!
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 Every good story requires some conflict, so I welcome it. And speaking of conflict, you know.
One last request. Here's what else I hope happens. I hope, like a story I heard from the guy who was there once, I hope Willie Nelson's bus is parked out in front of La Zona Rosa. And I hope he looks and surveys the crowd like he does every year at South by Southwest and anoints and goes, you, you, you. And he brings him on the bus to do what Willie does best. And I hope you're standing there right at that door. And he looks and he goes, nope. Not you.
Not
and
you.
He just shuts that door right in your face.
It calls me a traitor.
Calls you a traitor. Not when you left behind Hank and Matt. Sorry, right. Dave. Can't do it.
Sorry.
Leaving you out.
To all the fellas I've left before, I'm sorry, but now there's a girl leaving us.
Yes.
It's very sad news. We buried the lead a little bit. A couple of jealous fellas seated to my immediate left there. It's Handsome Hank, of course, and then also Matt Money Smith, and I wish to promote the fact that Matt Money Smith, this weekend, if you're listening to us in advance of our time in Austin, Texas, Money, of course, can't join us because he's going to be calling his first Alliance game.
Arizona v. San Antonio in Arizona at Sun Devil Stadium with everybody's old friend Marvin Lewis, the coach, going to be on the color commentary. So, I'll be doing that. I believe it's NFL Network, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern will be the kickoff time.
Make sure you check out Matt Money Smith. Big month for Matt Money Smith, too, as Titan Games also gets ready to premiere, right?
Million Dollar Mile. It premieres on March 27th. On
Wait, CBS. I called it. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Titan Games.
Just a competitor. That's okay.
Not that one.
That's
just
all right.
Scratch that.
That's all right.
Go back.
Million dollar mile.
Million. Million.
Okay. I would tell Emma VP to go back and cut that out.
She
but
ain't
she's
doing it.
She's drunk.
She ain't
she's
doing
gone.
It. She's drunk.
She's
checked,
checked out.
Out.
I'm not gonna.
What are you
that.
Gonna do? Fire her?
Yeah. Exactly. What? Give us
that.
The name again. I'm sorry.
Million dollar mile. March 27th.
Tim Tebow.
Wednesday. Tim Tebow. Maria Taylor. Earlier this week, the defenders, I'm using the air quotes, were announced. They are professional obstacle course racers in that world. Apparently, they are superstars that are part of defending the $1 million that these contestants, each one of them, has a shot at every time they get their two-minute head start and try to complete the obstacle course that covers a mile of downtown Los Angeles.
You know
Would
how
you
my-
be able to do the obstacle course?
Would I be able to do all five?
Yeah.
I believe I'd be able to do all five,
right.
But a defender would certainly catch me right. before I was able to complete.
So that's the bit, is that you're trying to do an obstacle course like the superstars from the old ABC days that we've talked
right.
about many times with the high-end professional athletes. This is, but the added element is somebody's chasing you while you're
you
doing
now have
I hate
to,
being chased.
Yes.
I hate being chased.
And so do
Nothing
these people.
Nothing worse than being chased.
It is because you have to determine how far away they are, because after each obstacle, you get a chunk of cash. So at any time, you can say, I'm done. They're going to get me. I'm done. I'll take this particular amount and call it an evening and be on my way. But, you know, these are high-level athletes, and they're like, yeah, better than this athlete. I take care of this stinking defender. They're not going to close the gap on
me. I mean, the obvious next step is, and maybe Tim Tebow is a cagey acquisition for the show, because maybe he can be the guy who brings in all the NFLers, because that would be the best. I mean, wouldn't you love to see
Celebrity
Maurice
million-dollar
Jones
mile? Yes.
You see some banger running back in
there.
Zeke Elliott
plopped trucking. He's too busy being a core member of the DDFP.
Yeah, he's
no
be
way
in,
he'd have time to do
no,
that.
No, he's going
to
be in Austin this
in
weekend.
Between his annual appearance on the show.
Oh, stop it. You're better than this, Handsome. You were off in Brazil the past week with one Russell Wilson, right?
What's that got to do with it?
I'm playing curious catch. To hear a story about that.
Playing catch with Russell Wilson.
You had a catch with him?
We had a little catch.
Had a little catch.
Was he impressed by your whip?
Yeah, he was actually. He was because I'm left-handed, and I said, you know, if you want to learn like Patrick Mahomes did to throw left-handed, perhaps I can teach you. So he and I had a little left-handed throwing session.
What kind of fellow was he to hang out? You went down there for what? To spread the good word about pro football?
To spread the good word about pro football. Russell Wilson, his wonderful wife Sierra, and a few of us went down there, and we spread the good word. He was on television. He did some stuff with some local football teams. He was a delight to work with.
Terrific, nice fellow. Then
nice fellow.
I didn't mention
your name, obviously, but because he wouldn't know who you are. But I did was talk about what a lot of wonderful things he does and how
he really does. People like to make fun and all that kind of stuff. Him, J.J. Watt. Oh, they're always doing it in front of a camera. So what? They're going to see children in hospitals. That's lovely.
Right,
stuff.
And he did some of that type of stuff.
Did he really?
Yeah,
even down there.
Yep.
And what's Sierra like?
She was a lovely lady. I wasn't familiar with her music before, but she's a very nice lady.
Yeah, I don't know. Would I know any?
They're also truly a good couple,
a good
family unit.
Hey, why don't you ask the people you take to South by Southwest? Maybe they can play a couple of her songs. All right, pal.
Yeah, I'm sure Colleen Wolf will know that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now. So the big news that we've kind of addressed here, MVP, would you like to make a formal announcement here about all the rumblings? There's some bad will coming out in front of the big visit to Austin, Texas. There seems to be a kerfuffle. You can find it on social media, in fact, at Damashek and at the MVP. You can find out what we're talking about. But go ahead, lay it on us, MVP. What we already all know, go ahead.
I know, a lot of rumors swarming, but I am leaving the DDFP, leaving the NFL.
Traitor.
Yeah, it's my last day, and I am going to Comedy Central to work in a writer's room on a new show.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, Emma. Congratulations.
Thank you
so much.
It's a huge upgrade from what you're doing right now.
Huge. I mean,
absolutely
huge upgrade.
Incalculable. Yeah, really. Mazel tov, MVP. We're over the moon for you. That's great, great news. Obviously, this is what you always wanted. I am a man of justice. I believe in merit, and MVP is as talented as it gets. Everybody who's listened to the DDFP over the last few years with MVP knows she's made the show much better. She's made the place much more fun to come into every day, and we wish you nothing but the best. But we will get that Anthony Jeselnik, who has stolen you away, a Pittsburgh native, no less, to come into my house like that. But MVP.
You Pittsburghians.
Hey, Dave.
You got something for Emma.
Pittsburghians.
You've had.
No, it's much better than that, money.
Yeah.
It's the my favorite one is if you're from Utah, you're a Utahn, which is weird
right.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Pittsburgher's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You're
Pittsburgher.
A Pittsburgher.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, go ahead,
Dave. You've had Emma as a producer, Black Tie. I'm trying to think who else has been on.
That's it.
Is that it?
No, there have been some others along the way.
I want you to rank your producers now.
Emma VP one,
right?
Because she's nine feet away from us, right?
Yeah,
now.
But if she wasn't, what would
awesome.
You
awesome?
Like, Emma, can you just
turn your
headset off?
I don't take.
She's turned her headphones off.
Okay, it's still going
to
be Emma VP
again,
because the likelihood that she'll hear this even without her headset on is greater than Black Tie hearing
she's
it.
She's definitely like Colleen Wolf. Emma has never ever listened back to one of these shows.
Here's one of Dave's life tips for you. When people give you that business about like, hey, can you imagine, would you ever go back to get your dog in a burning building or something like that? Like, the answer is always yes, because the likelihood that you're ever going to be actually required to do that is, 0.01%. But always take the position of the hero in hypotheticals. Right. People are so dumb. They always take the, no, I would never do that. Well, nobody's turning around saying, well, go do it right now.
So you're acknowledging right now that you're not a man of honor and honesty. You're just saying, Emma.
No,
she's sitting right there. Yeah.
Yes. That makes sense.
But in all honesty, she is better than Black Tie.
You think she's better than Black
Tie?
Well, Black Tie never did any of those restaurant previews of games and everything else. MVP. So many contributions to the show. Now turn off your mic. Now, let's talk about a little bit of football. But whatever you want, MVP, that you would like us to discuss, now's your chance. I know it's a dream come true to hear Handsome Money and I talk
about
a subject of your choosing. But
that's a lot
we'll
of power.
Do it.
Right.
Why don't you talk about some football and I'll think about something
All right, let's start with this. What do we think about the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, Chaz Casserly triumvirate? That is the story that has overwhelmed even Antonio Brown and Nick Foles. And
now you've got unnamed scout communicating with Dan Patrick's cell phone, who has inserted himself into the story.
There's some shenanigans with how tall Kyler Murray is.
I found that to be the most interesting.
How could that be true?
How could it be true? These guys are standing in their underwear.
He's got high hair. So when you drop that plunger, if somebody has decided, hey, listen, this guy's the star of the draft, all right? He's got to be 5'10". As soon as you see that thing get there at 5'10", you make sure you start pushing
that
plunger.
Oh, come on.
Does he not have high hair? Does he or does he not have high hair?
But hair is all of the same density.
Yes. So when you start moving that thing down, pressing it into the hair, and you decide when you reach the scalp, and that is what your measurement's going to be.
Oh, my God.
He's got at least two inches of hair.
At least two inches of hair.
That's the dumbest scandal ever. Let me ask you something.
Nobody. That's what's so crazy about it, right? But you tell me.
How would you say
what
you have
story?
My hair?
Well, I do not. I have very flat hair. I have very flat hair. I mean, that you're not going to be able to pull off anything wacky with my hair.
But
Kyler
Dave's
Murray,
got
you could.
No hair.
What would people have said if he was 5'9 and 7/8 instead of 5'10 and 1/8? Do you not think, listen, we've never had. I mean, it's one thing to not have a 6-foot core. Now we're talking about 5'9" guys, even though it was 5'9" and 7/8". Just that quarter of an inch to say 5'10" and 1/8 made all the difference in the world.
Okay, but that then assumes that the guy doing the measuring is somehow in the bag on this. Why would he care?
Hey, Raj. Yeah, it's Bob over here in Indy at Measurements. I got your back on this one. Don't you worry. I'll make
sure.
See this
crisp 20? It's all yours. Right?
Oh, that works out well. Hey, you see this nice $5 bill? What do you think of this, Mr. Referee at Soldier Field? I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Inside joke. That should have been ignored.
If the rumor that I heard about that, it was a $1
bill. $1
bill
was the story.
But I don't even know what that's
the story.
I don't even know what that story
is. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. I just found it interesting. Is my wheels started spinning. Could they really do that? There is a way they could have done that.
I mean, first of all, money. So you're out there. You did your usual grand tour of Indianapolis once again without Dave Damashek. Dave Damashek.
Oh, Dave, do not try and turn this around
Mr. Austin.
On us. I'm going to Austin.
I also would like to go to St. Elmo's.
Yeah, but the difference is money doesn't issue the invites for the combine.
I just know where I'm told.
It's not called the Matt Moneysmith Indianapolis Combine, blah, blah, blah. It's called the DDFP in South by Southwest.
Right.
Right?
Fair.
You're comparing,
now you're out there.
You're comparing boots to oranges.
Yes.
So stop.
Exactly.
You know, that's an NFL market, money. You're going to have to go there. I'd mind your words. You're going to have to go back to
it. I love Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, as Hank said, I went because I was on assignment. Mm-hmm. You could have put the two of us on assignment.
Right.
It was up to you.
You chose Colleen Wolf.
You called the shots.
You know what?
I like Colleen Wolf.
The buck stops with me. But in this case, it was all Emma VP's doing. Just take it, Emma VP.
Yep,
just
wear this.
You're on your way out the door. Just take it, please.
You got
Thank you.
Yep.
Emma just said it. You heard it.
Yeah.
I have ruined the discussion. My apologies. Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, Chaz.
So, first of all, here's the first thing. I know that it's a big deal for NFL Network, and it's a major event and all that sort of thing. But I am always reminded, first of all, in an overarching way, this crazy, I mean, I referred to it earlier in the week as sort of some sort of Russ Cole style True Detective thing that no one ever seems to learn. It's the repeated circle that is the draft process specific to QBs. November. Well, I don't know if any of these guys are good enough to waste a first rounder on. That'd be a reach to do that. Then some percentage of our colleagues, not here, I wouldn't say that here, but in general, you bounce off people. People don't actually watch college football. And then they tell on themselves in December by declaring, I just watched Dwayne Haskins. This kid's for real. I think that some people who...
Or others say, I wouldn't draft Dwayne Haskins. He's a runner.
He's a runner, right.
What?
Yes, you're telling on yourself. Oh, you don't watch college football, but now you have, and now you're smitten with this guy. So now buzz begins. Then we get into, you know, at this point... We're now past combine, but all the hand measurements and how tall and eighths of inches matter and everything else. And it all ends, as it does every year, with anyone who is just, you know, who can stand upright and has two arms is going to get drafted
in the first round.
Is that not true? Is that not the way it goes?
I mean, history would likely be your guide, yes. It seems as though that we will, after being told there were no first-round, legitimate first-round prospects when Herbert declared that he was going back to Oregon, that any other prospect would be a stretch to be taken in the first round, we will likely have three. And I guess maybe...
I think four.
Maybe if someone... Daniel Jones, it seemed like that there was very little buzz at Indy about him, and his throwing did not fare well. So maybe four if someone decides at the back end of the first, Daniel Jones makes sense to come. I think that's what it would be. It'd be somebody coming back into the back end of the first round to get Jones.
All right. Everybody loves the reckless speculation. By the way, I left out something in between before all these guys do get drafted in the first round. The buzz has now officially begun that next year's crop. We can hold out because when you mention Herbert,
well, I mean, we
reminded
already,
me of that. People are starting that talk already.
But we already had that because it was Tua's year, right. And now that you have Herbert, you know, Herbert, I think, would end up being the number one prospect in this draft. If he were out and he were healthy, I mean, that is your prototypical Carson Palmer, Trevor Lawrence-esque, 6'4", broad-shouldered, big-armed, some athleticism type of quarterback. And I think he would have taken this draft over.
And there's maybe two or three guys next year that would be ahead of
Tua, especially.
And I keep talking about
From.
Yes, with From for sure. Yeah.
I keep talking about QB saturation and that we're just about there. We're about 2 to 4 teams in the NFL away from having a viable starter. You may not love Eli Manning as your 2019 starter, New York Giants or wherever he may wind up. But nevertheless, I mean, if he's the worst in the league, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. The state of starting QBs is sound in pro football. But teams continue to operate as though that is far from the reality, and now we keep hearing about the duplicative stuff that that Gettleman's thinking about doing. No, we'll draft a kid, and then he'll learn at the knee of Eli. How many times do we have to see this? We don't. The Patrick Mahomes experience is not representative of how things go in the 21st century. You draft a kid, put him right in there. Don't hold on to two. Don't this learn at the knee nonsense.
I think if they can get away with it, they'd prefer it. I think that's the case. I think a team would prefer to do that, and then their hand is forced, is typically how it goes.
But if you're the Giants, though, if you are going to roll with Eli in 2019 as some sort of what appears to be some sort of homage to his career, don't you want to give him the best shot of winning? So drafting someone with a pick at that level to burn it on the future doesn't do Eli any favors in 2019,
yeah, but
right?
They can't afford to think. I mean, Pat Shurmur is probably in a year where he has to win now. Otherwise, the Giants may be looking for another coach. I think Haskins is exactly the right choice for the Giants because you can, you know, at some point this season, if the Giants draft a quarterback and let's say it's Haskins, he will wind up starting, but he doesn't need to on
day
one.
What does that get you, though? Again, this is what I'm talking about, 20th century thinking. In free agency, when you're holding these guys for 4 years, 5 years, or whatever, I mean, like, you know, get to it now, fellas. Building foundational blocks for a few years from now is outmoded.
But
you play for now.
So let's take the flip side of that and go to Arizona, right? And you have an offensive line that was an abject failure that had, I think, you had 11 guys play at least 100 snaps.
Right.
You had just coming off a big injury, David Johnson, who took a minute to get settled. You had Larry, but really not much else in terms of pass catchers out there. You had a defense that was solid, and you throw Josh Rosen out there, and he fails spectacularly. I mean spectacularly, to the point where you now have people saying someone who was regarded, I believe by you, as the number one quarterback in the draft last year as worthy of at best a third. That's
ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous to me, but that's kind of what the read is on him now. Man, he made bad decisions. He threw bad interceptions. He didn't move well off his spot when he was under pressure. And who knows? It was likely a product. I mean, gosh knows we saw enough of Josh Rosen to know that he can certainly be a competent quarterback in this league and probably a very good one if he's got good weapons around him and an offensive line to protect him, which he did not have. So did you gain an advantage by playing Josh Rosen last year on that roster with that coaching staff that clearly looked outmatched, you know, specifically an offensive scheme when Mike McCoy was, it was just a mess. So you would have been better off, right, if that guy didn't have to play last year and can just sit back and watch and try to absorb instead of being kind of thrown to the wolves and have to deal with all of those bullets. Who knows? You know what?
I guess. I feel like you started the clock now on him. You know, he's now gotten the ugliest play out of his system now.
And will he be better for it? I don't know.
I don't know. I always am skeptical of the you're going to ruin him. You know, that experience is going to damage him emotionally.
Ask your buddy David Carr about that.
Yeah. All right. Fair.
I mean, he might have decided that he wouldn't have minded a year sitting behind some
instead of 75 sacks
quarterback. Exactly.
So do you think Josh Rosen does get moved here then, Money? Your best guess? He's getting moved.
Really?
Where does he land?
Yes, I have zero question. I don't know who the proverbial they is that scrubbed his Instagram account of all of his Cardinals photos, save two. There were rumors in Indianapolis that his agent was already making calls and already trying to establish a market. I think the Steve Keim statement was telling. I don't think there's any reason to say that. Alluding to what you had mentioned earlier, you know, about going to save a dog in a burning building. No one's going to hold Keim accountable by saying, yes, of course Josh Rosen's our quarterback next. That's ridiculous. Let's go.
But isn't this the time of year where, you know, a team that holds the first overall pick, where Kyler Murray, it's been, you know, we were just talking about, sort of seems to have been anointed as this is the guy that you take number one overall. You've got a coach in Cliff Kingsbury that doesn't, you know, he got fired from a mid-tier college football job. He's all of a sudden able to walk into that building as the man and suddenly demand, despite the fact
it
they
is
drafted
funny
the quarterback
Money
last
also,
year.
Money points out about Cliff Kingsbury, his highest profile kid in school. Well, it's two highest profile. He has Mahomes and he has Baker. Right. And what did he do with those two guys?
Yeah. Almost nothing. So he's able
right.
to walk in.
Rode their talent.
He's able to walk in and demand that despite the fact they spent a 10th overall pick last year on a quarterback, that suddenly they're spending number one and you need to trade this guy away. To me, this is like the bet. This is exactly where you would expect to find a smokescreen. And there's teams like the Raiders and the Redskins who are suddenly going to go, well,
the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins, potentially, who are going to say, yeah, maybe we should throw some picks. I mean, the Raiders, who are sitting there with three first-round picks and, what, two spots behind the Cardinals, if they want Nick Bosa or someone else, the Cardinals could say, well, fine, give us a couple of picks.
Well, right.
We'll move down a couple of spots. We don't need a quarterback.
Right. Teams always try to create a market for the number one pick when
exactly.
they have
them.
Their ultimate preference like, almost always, unless there is an Andrew Luck or a definitive number right. one quarterback that you have to take, they will almost always want to auction it off and get more picks. No question.
And in this case, they have the benefit of if someone blows them away with an offer for Josh Rosen, maybe they go, well, actually, screw it. Maybe we do take this.
I do think, though, this is an odd bit of things lining up. The fact that Cliff Kingsbury was still the head coach at Texas Tech and they were playing Oklahoma when he came out and said, I recruited this kid. He's the winningest quarterback in Texas football history. He is, if I were in the NFL, I would take him number one.
And we share an agent, right?
And yes, he and Burkhardt.
Burkhardt is his agent. Helps me to...
No question. But this was way before.
Sure.
This was when we thought Kyler was going to play baseball,
yep.
right? So, I mean, yes, could we, you know, to go back to our conspiracy theory about his height, could we go all the way back to mid-college football season and Kingsbury is planting seeds for Kyler to walk away from $5 million from the A's, enter the NFL draft, and be the number one pick so he can help out his agent, Burkhardt? Yes, it is certainly possible. But
Kingsbury's playing three-dimensional chess, especially with that little detour at USC.
Darn right.
What a smokescreen that was.
I mean, so to me, it lines up is what I'm getting at. I do think it lines up where Kyler Murray is the pick, that there's enough scouts that you respect to say, hey, I think this kid can be special. The NFL has changed. Being a mobile quarterback, using your legs, playing these spread out air raid style systems has become more of the norm than the exception in the NFL. And he's as good as we've seen. The accuracy is there. What is the one thing we always hear, I mean, universally is, I don't want a kid if he ain't accurate. That's what we heard about Baker. When we were having these conversations about Josh Rosen and what a pretty ball he throws, about Sam Darnold and the physical specimen that he is, people kept coming back to, well, yeah, but Baker completed 74% of his passes, and some of those are crazy, tight window, off-schedule throws, so I'm comfortable going with Baker. That's Kyler Murray. The guy is crazy accurate. He's ridiculously fast, and he fits I think, kind of what is. I'm not saying it's an archetype, but he fits, I think, what a lot of people believe is the future of that position in the NFL. You know, and Josh Rosen does not. He is your, you know, I can't remember. I want to, and I'm talking too much now, but I want to attribute it. I don't remember who said it, but they brought up a good point. They said, hey, the Josh Rosens of the world in the NFL, they're not young. They're Phillip Rivers. They're Tom Brady. They're guys that are good because they've seen 100,000 snaps, and they can diagnose, and they can do things that young quarterbacks can't do. You know, when you
I completely agree with everything you just said, except for the reality that is Tom Brady keeps getting to the Super Bowl, and last year when he got to the Super Bowl, he played Nick Foles, and the year before that, he played Matt Ryan, and the guys that are getting to those Super Bowls are those what you would consider.
Yeah, Jared Goff this year, who's a pocket passer.
You're talking about 6'4", big, clunky white guys who sling it. I mean, that's kind of what you're talking
about. Stand in the pocket and go through your progressions.
Right.
You know, but Kyler can do progressions. Baker could do progressions. And on top of that, they could also beat you with their feet and run around, extend plays. And it just, I don't know, it feels like that's what we see more often than not, right? It feels like when we sit down on our couch to watch NFL football in 2018 and 19, we watch guys that can move and that can throw on the move and RPOs. And it's stuff that I didn't think I would see 5 years ago. And now we see it every week, and every team has installed packages that reflect that. So why not get a guy who did it at a higher level than anybody else in college football?
Yep.
Let's play this game then. All right. Now I completely get the spirit of it, if not, who knows? Like we say, it's all smoke and mirrors right now what the GMs and the teams are all saying. But the rumor out of Oakland that is intriguing for one of the very worst teams in pro football in 2018 is what if they somehow were able to manufacture a deal to get Kyler Murray to Oakland? And by the way, what if they just keep Derek Carr in that spot? They have Derek Carr. Then they get Antonio Brown in a trade, and then they sign Le'Veon Bell. How bad could that team possibly be with a pretty decent offensive line in front of them?
I mean, I think
pretty good.
The Kyler Murray part of it is what jumps out most to me, because you want to be ready next year. You know, you want to have sizzle when you go into Las Vegas. And based on that division, the defense in Denver, Pat Mahomes obviously in the Chiefs, the Chargers are going to come back pretty much intact, and they were a 12-4 team.
Yeah,
you're gonna be moving to Vegas with probably a 5 or 6 win team based on where their roster is right now, unless they spend all of that money in free agency.
If they had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and a league average or better quarterback, let's say it's Derek Carr, right in that middle pack of quarterbacks. I mean, with a decent offensive line, like I say, plus what would still be a bounty of picks, I'm having a hard time figuring out how bad that team is.
Their defense would have to be dramatically better. I mean, their pass rush.
Ride 26.
Was
spin the clock, reduce possessions. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
I think it was historically bad. I mean, you were talking about a defense that I think going into week 14 had fewer sacks than like 6 individuals in the NFL had. That's how bad it was.
And in that division.
And in that division with all that offense you're trying to keep up with. But look,
they would go, to Money's point, they would go to Vegas with people
buzz
excited about what could potentially become.
What the Jets could offer Pittsburgh to get Antonio Brown is in question, but let's play that game. I can see the reason that, as I always point out, in New York, the Jets are the little brother to the Giants, who have their own little melodrama now with Odell and the Landon Collins and everything else. But nevertheless, they want to make a splash. And if they could get Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell with Sam Darnold, how bad do you think that team could be?
I think that team would be very good.
I mean, they would. I think we're sleeping on how fast you can flip
I don't see the two guys going to the same place.
Why? You think there's?
I just don't think it's that likely.
Well, you're going to have to probably commit in this first, you know, it would have to be a place like the Raiders or the Jets that has $100 million in cap room, because you're going to commit about $40 to $45 million to those two guys alone. And you're going to do it on a team that has major O-line issues in both spots,
right,
in Oakland and with the Jets.
And in Oakland where they
have no defense whatsoever. So, I mean, it doesn't look. I get it. I think it makes sense. If you want, you know, if you believe at the very least you're going to create excitement for a fan base that you need to cultivate in Vegas and a fan base that's been dealing with nothing but disaster for the last 10 years with the Jets, save a small window there for a couple of years, then yeah, it makes sense.
I also don't think that I think we're discounting a little too quickly the idea that, well, the Raiders don't care about 2019 either, just like they didn't care about last year. They're building towards Vegas. Think about the reality of that. Think about it's early October 2019 and they're 1-5. That is not going to sit.
They have to. I mean,
they can't just be like, yeah, we're doing it again. We're the 76ers of pro football, everybody. That will not stand. People are not going to accept. John Gruden is doing this. People are not going to. We get the master plan, though. It's going to take effect once we get to Sin City. That's not plausible if you actually can put yourself ahead.
The only difference from a year ago is Gruden went in there and the master plan was, well, we're not going to be very good, and then I'm going to get these draft picks and make it better. But none of us had any faith that John Gruden was the guy that was going to do that. I think it's underrated how Mike Mayock, who's been on TV at the draft, kind of the genius of the draft, the guy that people watch talking about the draft and who understands a lot about the draft, for Raiders fans, it kind of made it more acceptable that, okay, now we've got this guy making the picks when we've got a bunch of picks. Maybe we can get it right. I think that they have that in their favor now compared to Gruden, who I don't think anyone who's a football fan really believed was a guy that
his draft was a disaster.
Had proven
last year.
At any point
it was a terrible draft
right,
last year.
Last year with the Bucks, that was basically what
Colton
got him
Miller
fired.
Was a third round graded tackle, and it just so happened he had somebody who knew his high school coach on staff last right. year who said this is the most athletic 6'8" guy I've ever seen, and next thing you know the guy's being drafted ahead of Derwin James. I mean, it was crazy, and they just took these huge swings on guys like Arden Key and Mo Hurst, who I hope he stays healthy, but that was someone that people said you can't take them, because of the heart concerns. Now that was their best pick, and it was one of those big swings. But other than that, I mean, they had issues. I think it was Hall who got hurt. It was not a good draft for his initial draft.
I hear you, and
picks become people. I mean, those picks are going to become people that have to perform at a high level, and John Gruden has not shown. And like you said, I hope Mayock can help them out, because it's a proud franchise. The league's better when the Raiders – such a stupid thing to say, but it's true. The league is better when the Raiders are great.
Yeah,
and it has been a rough patch, save a single season.
And if they are
1-5, like you were saying, they need to finish the season so they get to 8-8.
But they can't. Well, but I mean, what they can't
do. They need to go into the next season.
You can't make it
promise.
Derek Carr or anyone else. You can't say, hey, your best receiver is still Jordy Nelson,
no.
who at this point in his career is not bankable in terms of health or production. You get in Seth Rock. I mean, what are you going to do? And Jared Cook was their best pass catcher last year, and he's a free agent. I mean, you just can't do that to whoever you put under there and say, bear with us, Raiders fans. We're going to stink again.
I think if you connect the dots, I would say the Raiders are overwhelming favorites to within the next week have traded for Antonio Brown.
I agree with that. That's why I think they need to go and get 84, and people can raise all the red flags about how can you Amari Cooper? You gave up Amari, but now you're going to go get an older guy. Well, he's much better than Amari Cooper, first of all. And this is the position that the Raiders are now in, and they cannot go in and attempt to sell tickets or interest or otherwise, saying, "Yeah, Jordy Nelson," and that's what we're rolling with. They just need
so much more.
I know.
They need so much more than that. That's as I was trying to piece through all their picks, and I'm like, well, I guess maybe, DK Metcalf would create some sizzle if you decide to reach and take him at 4. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I forgot. They have no pass rush. They have no tackles. They have no linebackers. They have to draft, whoever's left out of Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen. That's who they have. Montez Sweat, that's who they have to draft at 4. They have to. I mean,
but maybe you don't need to give up the 4 for Brown. Maybe it's one of their other two.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that takes out the Kyler Murray part of it, right? Whereas Kyler Murray would be the one guy that would be the ultimate sizzle player going into Las Vegas. We've got the most exciting player at quarterback, save maybe Lamar Jackson, for you, Vegas. So get your season tickets now. Drive out from L.A., take the 15. Come on out and see Kyler Murray.
That I think the fan base can stomach is, yeah, we stink again, but we now have
this.
The future. And that then leads us into Derek Carr. There is also those rumors are around that Derek Carr is being shopped. But, you know, David Carr tells us that Derek and John Gruden, you know, professionally are believe in each other, at least publicly. Neither has said anything that would that would disabuse you of that notion. But to me, here's where I think a mistake that's about to happen. John D. Filippo, well, I know Nick Foles, and now I'm down in Jacksonville, so give me him. We've had success together in Jacksonville. This is going to be a bad move for Jacksonville to make because look at the division that they're in. You're talking about you can't put you're trying to make sense of what the Raiders could do no matter what players you put on there. They won't compete in the AFC West in 2019. If you put Nick Foles on the Jags, he's in a division with the Colts defense, the Titans defense, and the Texans defense. It's not like the Jags defense is so far superior to any of those three defenses.
But at levels, but that's the key. At least at levels, so you can't have a quarterback that puts you in a situation that's a detriment because all those defenses are good. So at least I think, I guess this is the way
I don't know. Andrew
it.
Luck does that. Deshaun Watson does that a little bit. I mean, what you need is a guy who's making a few splash plays for you offensively.
And you don't think Foles can do that?
I mean, obviously, we've seen him do it, but the pieces
I think
are
that's
so
the question.
Bad. I mean, that is a major drop-off from what Philadelphia offers. I have said it ad nauseum, of course. It's obvious. Virtually any professional QB, the most important thing isn't the pass catchers or anything else. It's how clean you're keeping them up front. And Nick Foles is definitely dependent on that. If you put a bum offensive line in front of him, which is, I don't know what you make of Jacksonville's O-line.
Okay. You know, it's okay. They spent money on the interior last year. They need a tackle. They could draft one at 7. You know, they could draft Williams or, it wouldn't surprise me at all, get a tackle and – they still have Leonard Fournette. You know, right. Their pass catchers are pretty good. They're not great. They're pretty good. You know, Mercedes Lewis can still block and hook as a blocking tight end and catch some passes. Is it great? No. But it's good. You know, and the defense is pretty darn great.
Also, that defense, there's a window for them to then have to go pay a bunch of these guys.
Yeah.
So they can't really take the risk that, okay, let's get Kyler. They don't have 2 or 3 years for him to get up to speed and be as good as he possibly could be. They really need it. They need it now, and they need a guy who's a veteran who's won a Super Bowl and understands what it takes.
All right. And
I guess what you feel, Dave, would you feel better about Nick Foles than Blake Bortles, right? Like you feel like, hey, Nick Foles is worth at least a win, maybe two.
Yeah.
For that team.
Yeah. I think the ideal, our savior finally, a steady hand under center, that's not going to get it in the AFC South. Derek Carr.
Right. Okay.
And I know Eli Manning is a laughable option, but
Derek Carr that much better than Nick Foles at this point?
I hate doing it just because.
Say this: if you make a deal with Nick Foles, now you're with Nick Foles for the next couple of years. If you go and get Eli Manning, in the twilight, I get it. I get
Eli
the wins.
Manning. We're now just,
first of all. It's relationships. I buy the Bucky Brooks factor, which is that relationships matter.
Sure.
Tom Coughlin has had success with Eli Manning. Eli would be probably relatively comfortable if you dropped him into that spot. Take care of the ball. You know how to do this. You've done it in your career with a defense-dominant squad here, Eli. And then he just has to get you through 2019. And like I say, QB saturation is upon us. Then you can figure it out on the other side of that. Nick Foles, now you're tied up into a
– but I don't think you're going to have to pay him that much because there's no market for him. You know, that's the thing. So I think, what's Carr make? 25, 26 million bucks? And Carr, you know, he's a bang bang guy. You know, he does not operate well when the pocket gets muddy. And I don't know what the numbers are, and who knows, for all I know, I'm talking out of my butt right now, but it seems like if he's got to hold the ball, things start to go bad pretty quick. And that's how he was at Fresno State, and that's why he probably slipped to the second round because it was snap, look, throw. And it was, you know, and I saw it in 2 games last year, and I saw it in 2 games the year before with that pass rush, you know, with Bosa and Melvin Ingram. And if you watch the Bronco game with Von Miller and, you know, what was going on out there, I think I'd be better off with Nick Foles. And if you have, you know, Flip, who can run that RPO offense that Doug Peterson was running, you know where he's comfortable. I would just have more confidence in that than putting Carr in that offense, you know, and asking him to maybe do a better job with the you would have to draft a tackle at right. seven.
I was just gonna say, but that's
you'd
what you
have
can,
to.
And you assume Leonard Fournette. I mean, listen, this is all speculative, yeah. and we're doing a deep
it just
dive
feels like
on
there's
Derek
so many
Carr
ifs,
in
right?
Jacksonville. But yeah. if you did do that again, relationship DeFilippo, Derek Carr got along famously in Derek's rookie season there, so that makes sense there. And he would get the ball out of his hand,
right.
just like the Eagles.
That's, make it
why,
work.
That's why the coaching staff was preferred Nick Foles. Correct me if I'm wrong, Money, you know better than I. The reason that they ultimately in the playoffs were kind of like, yeah, this is probably better that we have Foles in there instead of Carson Wentz is because Foles did exactly that. Got rid of the ball quickly, wasn't extending plays, but ran the offense, which is to get rid of the ball quickly. Yep. So, anyway.
Money, this has been a great conversation, but I can't help but think how much better it would be with Colleen and MJ.
Oh, yeah. What a stinker.
You know what I mean?
Emma VP, are you napping back there?
Yeah.
Are you
just catching up on some Z's.
Making pages for Jezelnik?
Yeah, I'm coming up with some ideas.
Have you started to cook up stuff for the show? What is so this is the Anthony Jezelnik, who's a
very talented.
Swell fan.
Wildly
really
talented.
Is, yeah. Great guy. And he's got a talk show coming up on Comedy Central.
Yeah, it's going to be interview-based. I don't know a ton of details yet, but I start next week, so I'll fill you
That's
in.
That's when you'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. It's exciting for MOVP.
Do you
right?
feel like the wildly clever monologues that Dave would deliver at the top of every DDFP while Colleen Wolfe sat admiringly in this chair where
just
I sit
laughing.
Right now? Do you think
just
that'll,
laughing hysterically.
Yes, do you think that'll give jokes. You maybe a base from which
yeah.
to work
yeah.
for Anthony?
I think I'm going
to
study some tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some Dave tape.
What really moved Colleen when she yeah. was sitting here? What kind of zingers did Dave deliver that got Colleen going?
You know what I'm excited for? That what is going to be great is when this Jezelnik. Yeah, well, that's going to be.
Right.
That's going to be yeah. a lot of fun.
Sure but, is.
But down the road in a couple of months, I can't wait for the Jezelnik show to debut so that Kent Brown's mom can issue a voicemail review as she
Ooh.
Does. In the meantime,
well done.
She has. Kent Brown, one of our favorite producers here, was off with Money in Indianapolis last week and now is back. And he got a voicemail from his mom reviewing. It's not, The Bachelor isn't over yet, right? The Bachelor has one more.
One more, show. I believe.
I listened to Matt Money Smith's
So you know as much
show.
About it as I do.
Yeah. Matt Money Smith and Petros Papadakis famously does a review every week on the radio of the show. And it really sounds like I've missed a dynamite season.
It's been, I don't know, about 11 years of this for me. So but for the last 11 or so years, well before it caught on as a craze, I've had to deal with this every single Tuesday or Wednesday, him reviewing what happened on The Bachelor the night before. And I will say this is probably the worst season we've ever had as far as a dynamic or lack thereof personality.
Wait, do you watch it as well?
I do not watch a single thing. So all I get, I have to react in the moment.
It's a 20-minute segment.
There's been some bad seasons, Money. I don't know. What about Nick from last year? Nick Vial.
Which, who was it?
Nick Vial, whatever.
Yeah, they all.
He's awful.
They have
the guy
about
the
old
car driver was
What about
awful.
The old people?
Lion
that was a funny idea.
Wait, do
Let's
they
do
have an
old,
old people back?
They did do an old
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they weren't 80, but I think they were, you know.
I missed it.
40-something, weren't they? They did
I
that.
Know.
I think that was in The Onion.
Sounds controversial.
I'm pretty sure they did
Doesn't
do that.
Doesn't sound like it.
And then this guy this year, he's an ex-football player. Who'd he play for?
Chargers. He was on the Chargers practice squad.
What's he doing?
Not while I was there.
Now.
I think it was in 16 or something.
Remember when
like
the
that.
Show started out? It was like this is a guy who
a man of means.
Everybody would want to be with. You know, like he's handsome
sure.
and he's super rich. They've kind of gotten away from the second half.
Because those guys won't
that.
Do it. They're like, wait a minute, I'm handsome and I'm super rich. I'm not putting myself through that. This is the dumbest thing ever.
Great. So wait. So we're calling you a football player, but. The reality is
you'll never play football professionally.
You're a practice squad guy.
From 2 years ago.
And you're not currently that even. How's he make his way?
The Bachelor.
Yeah. Reality
ABC.
Star. Reality star is
he
what
at
married.
Least? Is he at least comely?
He's handsome.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Athletic tight end type. You know what they are. You know, it's one of your better looking positions on the team. If you're the athletic tight end, you got broad shoulders. You're clocking in at least 6'4". You know, and you're probably carrying that 225 to 245 pretty well.
And the wrinkle this
you
season,
just
too, is
me,
he's never known the touch of a woman.
Excuse me?
That's what I say to that.
That's right.
That's a bunch of hooey.
You don't buy that?
Hell no.
They built that story. Like,
absolutely.
What are we running with here?
It's a hot load of trash.
Colton, you're a Colton. The best thing we can say is you run the taxi squad years ago. That's not good enough.
You're a Division I tight end who played professional football and hit the road for a dozen trips a year. Yeah, you still don't know the true touch of a woman in the most intimate way. Of course not. Why would you? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'll make that. But, I mean, Colton really must have been desperate if he was willing to go along with that story. Matt Money Smith suddenly has revealed himself between this and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, conspiracy.
Has tall hair. He's a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden.
That's the thing. Like, the virgin thing on The Bachelor, I do think they issue it when the people aren't interesting. Like, that's a big, like,
that's supposed to make it more interesting.
I think so. Like, oh, this is a chaste young man, despite all of the trappings in his previous life, he managed to stay the course. And that's what one of you young ladies is going to get.
If I heard you correctly, let's get to it here. But if I heard you correctly, Money, this guy is he declared that his heart belonged to only one woman, and that woman dumped him at the end of the episode. So now what's even the point to next week?
Exactly.
Now we got to tune in.
All right. Well, maybe we don't. Maybe we'll be disabused of our interest in it by listening to Kent Brown's mom's voicemail review.
Hey, Kent, this is the worst Bachelor I have ever seen in my entire time watching. And they didn't even get to the third girl, but that girl from Huntington Beach. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I can get there with you, blah, blah, blah. And he's so madly in love with her. And but to make a long story short, they never got to the third girl. And the first girl, he didn't even sleep with her in the fantasy suite because he said he wasn't sure about how he felt about her. Oh, honest to God. And then it's going to be tomorrow night or the women's talk, and then it's going to be next Monday and next Tuesday. But this was like, that girl from Huntington Beach, she better not become the next Bachelorette. She got in the car, supposedly she left. I don't want her to be the next Bachelorette. I don't like her. Her name's Cassie. All right, bye-bye.
If only mom would tell me what her name was. Oh, there it is, Cassie, and she's gone.
But the acid that came along with the name.
That's amazing.
Her name is Cassie. All right, good night.
Kent Brown's mom was definitely, she'd bought in on the whole virgin thing because she was looking forward to The Bachelor taking some girl to Pound Town.
Right?
do they still do the bit? I haven't watched it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in a couple of seasons.
That's
now.
A Mark Brady intervention if I've ever heard one.
Does Chris Harrison still pen the invite to the fantasy suite, which is a weird introduction of a third party into this intimate thing? Like, oh, I got a note from Chris Harrison inviting you to make your love on me. Like, why is Chris Harrison handwriting that note?
It's a great observation, and the only thing I can come up with is because his hands are so small and they are so desperate to put them on camera. That's the only thing I can think of. He has got the hands of a 12-year-old girl, if you've ever noticed when they put a close-up on him.
Chris thinks that you and I should do it. What do you think?
Well, he's the host of the show. I guess we kind of have to, right? I mean, I don't think we have a choice.
But I'm a virgin.
He's the preeminent love doctor of the 21st century. I guess we should do what he
is a romance novelist, this Chris Harrison, you know.
Is that true?
Yes. You don't remember like three? Yes. Like,
no way. Oh, that's the greatest.
Yes.
That's the greatest.
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
You're not the only writer in town, okay,
yeah,
Emma?
Yeah, I'll say.
Some other people are writing.
I can't, but so let's wrap it up here. We got to get done. Emma VP, final thoughts before you go. Do you have any tribute you wanted to make? Handsome Hank.
No, I actually, because Emma, you know, when she really broke through on this show, at least I didn't notice her for about the first 18 months she was here. She's very quiet. But she really broke through when she would write menus of football games and then describe. It was a fantastic bit. So what I wanted to do was pay tribute to Emma by writing my own menu about all the things about Emma that I really love.
Oh, that's so great.
But I didn't get around to it.
Oh, you didn't.
But it was a great idea.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Is that enough, though, to get Emma VP? I don't want to embarrass her, except I love to embarrass her and anybody else. And so Emma VP, when she told our boss, Mark Brady, she wept. She cried.
No.
Saying goodbye.
That's a bit of a rumor and exaggeration. I mean.
But I'd like. But I mean.
So many rumors going around.
It would be a shame if you didn't weep now. Can't you weep? Say something. Say something poignant, Money, as you send her off into her. Chasing her.
I guess here's what I can say sincerely as I look into your eyes, Emma. I have a lot of jobs. I'm a very busy man. I'm a father of three children. I'm getting pulled in many a direction. And I will say that the requests for my presence and inclusion on many things are regularly declined. But one of the reasons why I come here at least once a week is so I could be in your presence, because I appreciate what you do. I appreciate the commitment to what you have on this program. And I will, in fact, all kidding aside, I will miss you.
Thank you, Money.
I do enjoy you as part of this program, Emma.
Thank you so much.
You're a little choked up.
I'm not going to cry, but I definitely felt it. Yeah.
Good.
That was very sincere.
Because it was
very
sincere.
That was, and it was
Emma's
sincere,
extremely and it was... talented, and we will miss her here. No question about
Thank
it.
Thank you, Money. Appreciate it.
That's really nice. Handsome. That's it?
How about you do something, Dave? I mean, Emma has consistently made you look way better than the sum of your
more.
Parts.
I mean, the only thing I can say is I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon for MVP. The whole point.
That's why you're taking her to Austin with you.
She bailed on us, and we're not going to take her with us. Emma
Well, then it sounds like there's a hole for maybe somebody else to come.
Everybody, as soon as you started flapping your gums on the show or even making pages, everybody immediately identified you rightly as too talented for this show. We were just biding our time. We knew we were just filling a void for you until you could move on to where you belong, making pages, comedy, making, be writing on a TV show in a couple of years or hopefully sooner than that, and writing features and whatever else you choose to do. We were glad that we could serve as the minor leagues for you in your climb into what's sure to be writing stardom in show business. It's been what a pleasure to have you around. We got super lucky. We don't know who at NFL Media is going to take these jobs. They're populated by people in their 20s. Some people are good. Some people are great. Some people are beyond
the
any wish of anybody who could have come in here and made this show halfway listenable for the last couple of years.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. This is not the minor leagues.
Now what we're going to do, I don't know. But in the meantime, MVP does still have her show with Ricky Hollywood. Make sure you check it out. It's the broadcast. It's dynamite. I hope that the broadcast is a long-running show along with everything else. I hope that's the baseline for you as you sell features.
Continue
and get
moonlighting, Emma. That's what we're saying.
Staffed on sitcoms, and who knows what else awaits you. But no doubt it's going to be good stuff.
That's what I also appreciate.
And can I borrow money? When you
yeah, you got it. Okay. Just let me know. Yeah,
I always appreciated that she committed herself much more to the broadcast than to this program.
Yeah,
something I can.
Let's be honest. She was far more committed.
Most
than
definitely.
That. Yeah, I mean, we're not
Most.
Actually going to.
That's also completely understandable.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Right.
Emma VP, go get them out there. That's all I can say.
Darn right.
Proud of you. Happy for you and everything else. And
I'm just putting things away so I don't get emotional. I'm like trying to distract myself because this is a nice moment between the two of you.
All right.
And if I focus on it too much, and I've been known as a man who will get misty, especially on airplanes. If Princess Diaries is playing, and there I am, weeping like a child. I just want to distract myself.
Finding Nemo.
Do you
when that fish finds his dad?
You know what we should do, though? What we should do one last time is, because it happened and it was a super weird thing. You weren't there, handsome.
No.
We were Chavez Ravine.
No.
We were Chavez Ravine.
Not gonna reenact this.
And Spaghetti and Emma
not
showed up
that.
As we wrapped up doing a show, Money and I. And then Money and I were leaving, and that we were all standing there, at Dodger Stadium. And Money was like, "Well, we'll see you later, Emma." And then they hugged each other.
It was odd.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It was just weird because neither one of them hugs people. Neither one of them hugs each.
Not a hugger. I have never been a hugger.
You want to hug him one last time, Emma?
Perhaps when we leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be.
We'll work on it
on the mic. I'm not sure that's going to necessarily
Mic'd
come
up,
through.
Hug.
All right. Well, that's it. Let's
was
play
it by it. The way, you guys went. Was that another one that I wasn't invited to? Because I don't remember being there.
You were not there.
Do you go on all these kind of
You were not there.
Oh, you know what?
Eddie was there. Emma was there.
Yeah,
Dave
just the
was
core
there.
Team. Just Colleen probably was there as well,
yeah,
as always.
That's funny. That was on a show called...
Claybon was there.
That was a show called Petros and Money. And I had no sway in who got invited or not.
Yeah,
I think Money was the one who was doing the inviting that day.
Mm. That is not true. That is patently false.
Wait, Damashek, you couldn't get anybody else? Tim Cates, the producer? Anyway, all right, Emma VP, we'll miss you something.
Good luck,
awful,
Emma.
But we'll be watching
Thank
from
you.
Afar,
standing ovation.
Cheering for
right.
you all the way. That's it for
that.
Us. Hey, by the way, let me promote something. The show, sadly or otherwise, will carry on. Coming up on the next episode, we have Adam Carolla, one of the all-time funniest people. We've already kibitzed, we'll play that for you in the next episode. Until then, for Matt Moneysmith, for Handsome
Have a great hey. Time at South by Southwest, yeah. Dave.
Hey, we hope we'll see you on Saturday
Don't
at South
to
by
boo.
Southwest. J.W. Marriott.
Boo.
Eddie Spaghetti, Maurice Jones-Drew, Colleen Wolf.
Oh, Wolfie's
no
gonna be
Handsome.
There.
Woo, yeah.
No money.
Nope.
Worst of all.
No fans.
No MVP. Go get him, MVP. Working with you has been a thin slice of heaven.